with liberty and justice for all. I know that comes.
Okay, with that, we'll go ahead and have the roll call, please.
Director Cecina?
Here.
Director Kelly?
Here.
Director Sparks? Vice President Sennett?
Here.
President Ohilski?
Present.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'd just like to have a quick note of introduction here. We did flip the order of the meeting tonight because we have significant discussions to take place in closed session, so that was the reason for the flipping of the open session and the closed session, because we didn't feel like we could get everything we needed to get done in closed session done in a timely manner. So this is not going to be a regular occurrence, but I felt it was important to do it today, so that's why we did it. So with that, we'll move into the open public session agenda, and we have the administrative and committee reports.
Thank you, President Ohilski. Phil Veneris, Fire Chief, is on vacation. His report is included in the agenda packet. I could go through and read it, or we could make sure and take note of any questions and have Phil address those when he returns. So I'll leave that to the pleasure of the board.
Does anybody have any questions about the fire report? Okay.
All right.
Then we'll move on.
Okay, moving on. In the utilities, let's see, total production for the month of June was 26 million gallons. That represents a decrease in production of about 2%. 43% of the water service area was billed for about 20 million gallons, and that represented a revenue of $125,000 and change. It was interesting to note that the revenue increased by a little over 3% from last year, corresponds with a decrease of approximately 2% in the production for the amount of the water billed. Also, during the month of June, in addition to the regular normal day-to-day duties, staff worked on the monthly compliance reports for the Department of Public Health and our consumer confidence report, which documents all of our chemical tests to the water.
No questions.
Administrative
report.
Not a whole lot to report in the administrative side. The one exciting thing is that the new website is live. It's active. As expected, there were a couple of little glitches. Those have been worked out for the most part. The one I like the best is the shorter name. So anyone interested in going to our website can now just type in loc.org. or locsd.org or locsd.com, that'll work as well. So we invite everyone to take a look. We're continuing to populate the website with links and additional information so that it can be as convenient and informative as possible for our constituents. Are there any questions about the website? I see there's some screen captures in here that kind of show what's going on. Happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Any questions on the administrative report?
I have one. Is this new? I know that the reporting is new. Are reporting on the number of visitors to the lobby in the month. How do we track that? Is that something new that we're doing? Everyone take a number when they come in?
You know, I had that question myself. Anne, do you know how?
We just keep track of phone calls and visitors into the office tally system. Yeah.
People come in and make a mark note of
the fact. No, we do.
You actually consciously count?
The reception.
Yeah. Desk reception. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? Yes, Director Sparks.
Thank you, Mr. Gilmer, and thanks for highlighting the new website. One thing on the links, I think it's always helpful, is, you know, as much of other government agencies as we can provide linkage to as well, particularly San Luis Obispo County and the California State link, I think would be welcome too. Thanks.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you. So with that, we'll move to the general manager's report.
Yes, thank you again, President Ohilski. On July 7th, I attended the RAC meeting, and one important item was the county's consideration of proceeding with application for IRWM, that's Integrated Regional Water Management Grants, through made available by Proposition 84. I voted in favor of proceeding with the application for the Los Osos Wastewater Project, and that motion passed unanimously. Item 7 of the RAC agenda was also pertinent to Los Osos and involves the county's update to the land use and circulation elements to the county general plan modeling software particularly strong in the area of graphic representation of what's going on underground. It was often for me, it's a lot easier if I can visualize what's happening rather than just looking at numbers. And it really was excellent at taking data that often is presented in two dimensions and displaying it in three dimensions. It's not something we're really moving towards. It was just kind of neat to see that it's out there, that those kind of tools are available. And if there ever is a need to go to a more sophisticated system of modeling and presenting that information, then it's good stuff to know. One of the things that was kind of exciting was that District Engineer Rob Miller mentioned the development of some new technology for removing nitrate. It's a process that uses autotrophic microbes to consume the nitrate. It takes a source of carbon, which is typically carbon dioxide. The byproducts of that process are nitrogen gas, which is what makes up most of the air that we breathe as it is. And there is some biomass as the microbe colonies grow and die off and slough off. But generally, it's not considered a hazardous type waste and certainly not as difficult to permit as a briny discharge that would have to be disposed of in certain ways, special ways. So that's kind of encouraging. It's something that's still being tested and documented and for approval, and it's one of the things that may be a difficult for that process is you don't often hear microbes and potable water being discussed in the same sentence, but if it turns out to be a viable technology, it's something we'll certainly look at for removing nitrate here in Los Osos. And then on July 14th, I attended the second in a series of climate change adaptation summits or workshops, and it's made up of a group of community leaders from all over the county. The event, again, was very well attended. A lot of the attendees still seem to focus on minimizing the effect of climate change rather than recognizing that it may happen and how to prepare best for it. Some of the ideas, some of the concepts that were presented were very intriguing, things that you might not expect, impacts to weather patterns can, wetter years can lead to more growth of the grasses and can be an increased fire hazard in the summertime if we have drier summers or longer dry periods. So there's, be pretty sure he's right, but that said, I still researched the comment that he made relative to polar ice caps melting. He claimed that, and actually it was verified online, not that the internet is more reliable than Mr. Wynn, but his comment was that 90% of the world's ice is in the Antarctic ice cap, and it's actually growing, whereas the Arctic ice cap is very, very well documented that it's shrinking. But with 90% being contained in the Antarctic ice cap, it kind of begs some questions as to whether or not sea level rise will become a reality for people throughout the world. Anyways, moving on. Also with President Ohilski and Director Kelly, I attended a really, really great presentation and seminar, and it's more of a workshop, really, on coastal development. And this was put on by the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Some nice folks from back east had some real good presentation materials and some great exercises for characterizing the way development has occurred along the coastline in the past, how we've become smarter over the years, and there's better ways of doing things that consider not only environmental protection, but considerations for social and economic impacts. I thought it was an excellent use of our time, and although we're not directly involved in land use decisions, we certainly are positioned to assert some influence in that process. So I thought it was time well spent. Any questions on my general manager's report?
Can I make a comment?
Absolutely.
In addition, Can I make a comment? Okay. So in addition to kind of what General Manager brought up, a lot of what that presentation recognized was that the human resources as well as our environmental resources and the balancing of you know, what's been done wrong and what can be done right and what can be done better. But it really took into account a lot of human responsibility, but the fact that humans are living where we're living, how do we minimize future damages and then utilize us as part of the resource and the environmental fabric. And the way NOAA put it together was just very well done. And it was brought to us through Morro Bay National Estuary Program and the Marine Interest Group.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay, with that, then we'll move on to committee reports. Did we have an emergency services committee?
Yes, we did. And I think we have the meet.
We'll be meeting to discuss some policies and procedures, accounting policies and procedures for the district. So if anybody has interest in that, we will be meeting at the district office on the 16th at 5:30. Right. So that's the update on financial advisory, utility advisory.
We did meet. We continue to just receive updates from the septic tank maintenance ad hoc committee, the drainage ad hoc committee, and the conservation ad hoc committee. The septic maintenance management committee is working on getting some handouts available that we can reprint in the office at an affordable cost. Also looking at researching additional PEG funding to capitalize on our television outreach and just working on the education aspect of it has been really a lot of the important part of that right now. And we talk a little bit about how the septic tank management, the drainage, and the conservation all pretty much go hand in hand, so we will find some overlap in information. So I really am grateful to that committee, to Lindy and Ron. Drainage committee is still working on some mapping out troubled areas, and hope we'll come back with something soon. And the conservation committee, ad hoc committee, has been tasked by the rest of the committee to really look at timeline implementation of the BMPs that we brought before the board prior. We did have a discussion. The six-month time period was up for our ad hoc committees, and we did have a discussion as whether we wanted to re-up all three ad hoc committees to continue, and we would like to do that. We would like to have all three ad hoc committees continue with their current membership. And we all voted unanimously, but we'd like approval for that. We also did discuss item G that's in our agenda packet this evening, so it did go before the utilities advisor, or a form of what is in packet in G tonight was discussed by the Utilities Advisory Committee regarding the prorating of fees. So that we did review that to some extent. Oh, and some of this, that's right. But it will come back with leak adjustment policy. We did spend more time on a leak adjustment policy and reviewing a situation with an unreasonable fee on it right now. So that's about it. And our next meeting is on the 11th. Thank you.
Any questions, Director Kelly?
Not for Director Kelly. Just a reminder as well, the Emergency Services Committee meeting will be at the fire station. It's planned on August 17th at 5:30. And the main topic is going to be the year-end financials in preparation for the upcoming audit.
Okay, with that, then we'll move to director's reports on attendance at other agency committee meetings. I have a bunch. Does anybody else have any? Okay. First of all, as most of you know or don't know, I'm president of the Special Districts Association for the county. We did have a meeting last month where we talked about trying to set up better interaction and more communication between the various special districts in the county, especially those of us that had similar interests. So that's one thing that we are going to be working on in the CSDA. I guess the first tangible result we have from that is that there will be a reception between the coastal commissioners and the coastal CSD people next Wednesday. So I think that we're starting to at least get some common interest together and work towards common goals. So that's the first thing that's coming out of the CSDA effort that we're making. I did attend the LOCAC meeting and gave the district report. It was basically an update of what happened at our last meeting. The LOCAC has changed their policies and procedures, so they're not going to question me anymore. They're going to have to come here to do that. So I think it will be better to give more information across that way. Also, for those of you that have been looking at the calendar, we have talked about doing the fifth Thursday of the month as a joint meeting with LOCAC, and September we do have a fifth Thursday of the month. So the next one is December after that, and I pretty much have already ruled out December for a joint meeting. Vicki, who's the chair of LOCAC, and I have talked about, and I think we talked about it, this board, was the idea of, if we're going to have joint meetings, rather than having a business meeting, to have a presentation of something that's of common interest to both groups. We had the Graywater presentation last time, and I thought that went really, really well. One of the things that the county's looking at now is how to involve or how to get better cooperation between the Community Services District and the local advisory committee. So one of the things that Vicki and I talked about potentially for the meeting in September would be the idea that we could have a presentation or a discussion of interactions between LOCAC and the CSD and how we could coordinate better to get the best services and information to the community. So that's something we'll be looking at, and Vicki and I are going to pursue that a little bit more. The question I just have for the board, does anybody have a problem with us pursuing that? It would be on September 30th. That would be the fifth Thursday of September. So unless there's an objection, I'll go ahead and pursue that, and then I'll have a yay or nay back to you at the first meeting in December regarding whether we can do that or not. I did also attend on behalf of the district. I'm on the executive committee of the estuary program. There's a triannual review by the EPA of the estuary program. So I attended the luncheon after the EPA was done with their review. The estuary program got the highest marks from the EPA regarding the operations of their program. I actually had the opportunity to eat lunch with the head person, the head woman from EPA, and she was very, very complimentary of the estuary program and all the efforts and things that are happening in Morro Bay. So I think then we talked a little bit about each individual community's impact and efforts in that regard, and I think it just shows how people working together can really work around something that has a significant impact. So I think that was a really, really good news for everybody. I did attend the Coastal Development Seminar, although I wasn't able to stay all the times because I do have a business to operate. I agree with Director Kelly and General Manager Gilmore that it was a very, very helpful and productive session talking about coastal development, and I think this was the people from the program were from South Carolina, and this was the first time they ventured west of the Mississippi with a program. So they, I was wondering at the very beginning how they were going to adapt to a very different thought process or mindset than they're used to, but I thought it was a very, very good session, and they had a lot of good information, I thought, and it was a very, very good workshop for getting people in tune with the different aspects of coastal development and some discussions about strategic planning or smart growth or whatever you want to call it, whatever the most local or most current phrase is. With that, before I get to the LOCAC report, and I know Miss Vicky's not here and Fred's going to give the report, but let me ask a question of legal counsel, John. The ad hoc committees, I can just appoint them for an additional 90-day term. Pardon me, 6 months?
Yes.
Okay. Then I'll just go ahead and appoint them with the same responsibilities and job descriptions that they had before to terminate in 6 months.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, we'll move to the LOCAC report, and we have Mr. Delgado here to give the report. I know it's Delgado. I'm sorry.
Is that on? Now you can hear me. Okay, well, thank you for allowing us to be here to give a LOCAC report. LOCAC meetings, you can come and you can listen to the sheriff's report. You can ask him questions. You can listen to county staff and you can ask them questions. You can listen to Supervisor Gibson. You can ask him questions. And you can listen to Mr. Ohilski, but you cannot ask him questions. You can do that here.
Yes.
I just want to go over a few of the important committees we have. Land use, meeting this Thursday, or next Thursday, August 12th at 6:30 at Chase. Recently, they went over the solar panels, and LOCAC was against the solar panels as they were presented because of the carport structures and cutting of trees. And the supervisors, they did approve the project. They denied an appeal by Julie Tacker. We also have Parks and Rec Committee, which meets the first Tuesday of every month on Oak Ridge Drive. You can get that address from us some other time later, because I don't have it. We have a Trees Committee that's going to be headed up by our new member, Alyssa. And then we have a Transportation and Circulation Committee, which I chair. And so I'll tell you a couple things about that. The Palisades light over here has been malfunctioning for bikes, but they think they had that got that fixed earlier this week. And we're trying to put together a meeting of Transportation Circulation to try to get Tim Gillum from the San Luis Council of Governments to come speak about the Unmet Needs Program. The idea is to discuss a new RTA route that goes down Los Osos Valley Road by the box stores, then down South Higuera by Trader Joe's, and somehow each RTA bus needs to wind up at the government center. So we're hoping to get him to come to the meeting. We'll announce when that meeting will be. We communicated drainage problems on Los Osos Valley Road in front of Sunnyside, and I heard you mention drainage earlier, and they're hoping to solve those issues by the next rainy season. We got an email today. The Santa Isabel Pathway is about to be restarted again. I do not remember the date, though, but it will be going again. And lastly, we are able to get potholes filled, so if the public wants to contact me, they can call me at 528-1738. Let me know where the potholes are that they need to be filled, and we'll try to get that to Ryan Chapman of Public Works, and he'll be able to get a crew out there. So thank you very much for letting us give this report.
Director Sparks, you have a question.
Mr. Delegata, may we ask you questions?
Yes, we may. We do not have a policy against questions.
But you answered my question. Thank you.
Any other questions? I would, just as a quick update, I'll get it for it. I failed to talk about the Parks and Rec Committee because I do sit on the LOCAC Parks and Rec Committee, and we have formed a community foundation for recreational purposes. It's called Recreate or Recreate Los Osos, depending on how you want to pronounce the word. So we do have a nonprofit now that we have formed and that we're going to be working on fundraising and putting on recreational activities and community events. Our first event we're looking at right now is a movie night for Halloween, so put that on your calendar. Thank you. With that, then, I think we'll move to public comment on either the consent calendar or the administrative reports. Is any item going to be pulled?
I would like a little further discussion on item I.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think we can really get into that too much, I guess. Not to the detail I would like to. Okay. I don't think so. Let's pull that.
I think we can pull item I, and I was going to enter into the record Ms. Tacker's comments after the public spoke. So, any other items that we need to pull? So we'll pull item I then, and then we'll open it to public comment on the reports and the consent agenda.
Good evening. George Taylor, Los Osos. I am very concerned about the action requested on item I.
This, George, we're going to have a separate discussion on that, so.
Well, do you want my input or?
No, I mean, you can comment at the time we discuss I.
I separate.
I is going to be handled separate. I think it'd be better to do it at that time because
we're going to have a whole separate discussion on that. Yeah.
Okay. Frank Cilio, Los Osos. First, I'd like to thank LOCAC for switching their recommendations, because initially they weren't going to have questions of some of the other people that were listed that they are accepting questions to. I find that it's one of the opportunities for the people of the community to actually have direct interaction with the people in the county. And if the citizens don't get their answers, sometimes the board members will ask those questions. So it's a very unique position, place to go to get those answers that you may have questions to. Also, I'd like to, you know, talk about the Coastal Commission. They're having their meeting next week, and it wasn't announced here. They're going to be here 3 days next week. I think it's 11th, 12th, and 13th. Somebody can verify that. And I don't know if anybody's going to attend from the board or from the management from the CSD. I know that on the 11th they plan to discuss amendments to the local coastal program. And even though I didn't find Los Osos, except maybe in, you know, in a heading under a picture, I think there was two parts I found Los Osos under in their report. Wouldn't that have some effect? I mean, if they're going to look for amending the coastal plan, which will eventually happen to us, what effect will that have on us? I mean, will that be a blueprint for us that we're going to be following some other coastal communities? I'm not sure. And that's why I have a question about that. If somebody's going to attend from the board, if you think that that's something important that we need to know about, you can download the report. The other issue I have is, and I didn't hear, I don't know if anybody reported on the update on the July 27th from the county supervisors. They had that update. And it's, to me, it's important because I think that it's good to report back to the community on this board, because they're talking about a 218 coming up that would do rates and charges for the community. But if you looked at, you know, if you had the information, you can download it too. If you had the information, you can see there's no 218 for the vacant properties. And I've been talking about this for a long time, is that what happens if there's a failed 218 by the undeveloped properties? And it's the county's response is, well, then we're going to add that on to rates and charges. That's going to affect your people in your community. It's going to affect any rates that you're going to bring forward to pay for the ISJ, too, whether people are going to vote for that or vote down that proposition. So I think it's important that I'm disappointed that somebody didn't attend from this group to give some kind of report back to the community and this group. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Gwen Taylor. I'm a resident of Los Osos, and I would like to direct the question to Mr. Gilmore, our manager. What is the status of the fire hydrant that was replaced on Pasadena? Did the bid go out and come in with the full amount of $10,000? Where are we at this present time? Is it in operation? Is it to be in operation? What is the standing of the fire hydrant? Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments on reports or consent agenda? We'll have Alon and Richard. Anybody else? So we'll close the public comment after Richard then.
I'll try and just use a minute. My first question is, are you going to start actual general public comment at 7 precisely? Is general, and that's yes.
That's specific.
Other than that, just in terms of Mr. Gilmore's report, whether you think global warming is going into this direction or other direction, the truth of the fact is we are entering a cycle of weather unpredictability, and where that relates to the county is that that affects long-term planning. It affects the finances for a lot of things. Most of the public projects that have been done have certain assumptions as to how often floods take place. These are probably going to change. We're entering a period where for the next 100 years, if we survive it, those will be very variable. That's going to raise costs on a lot of things. There's a project coming to town, and unfortunately, it was designed for a 5-foot sea level rise, which I think is good forward planning, assuming the project actually will last 100 years, because the 5-foot sea level rise was not actually predicted till 2100. But that's all that aside. I really just wanted to find out about the timing on this. I do have a question that doesn't necessarily need to be answered by Mr. Delegata, maybe more a reminder. Is there a citizens' committee established, and it's not LOCAC's responsibility to establish that committee specifically, but is there a citizens' committee available to take over the planting once, and I, as Mr. Delegata said, he doesn't know what date that is, but I think it's going to take 3 warm weather days, irrespective of when they schedule it. But is there someone who's going to take over and plant in that area? Because that was part of the design. Thank you.
Thank you. So we'll have Richard, and then we'll close public comment.
Richard Margetson, 2 comments. First on 5J. The $250 sponsorship, I guess my only concern here is are we taking this from the right account? I'm so actually surprised Don Bearden isn't talking about this, because they're talking about taking $250 from drainage when I thought maybe this should come from solid waste. I know it's only $250, but are they going to actually be cleaning up the beach in Baywood? Is that part of this program? Because if it's not local, I'm not so sure the drainage fee can be used for that. Anyway, just I would like an answer to that, if we could get that. My other comment is, since Frank brought up the supervisor's update, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. Our supervisor Gibson has been taking shots at this CSD on our water conservation efforts, which I think are superior to what Golden State has done, but that's, you know, and I think that's provable. I think they probably would debate it, but my concern with the comment he made is he was asked staff was asked by a member of the audience or of the public if there's a building moratorium in Los Osos. Mr. Gibson answered that question by saying, no, there really isn't a building moratorium, but in order to build in Los Osos, developers have to retrofit through the retrofit ordinance. So in actuality, the retrofit ordinance is helping solve the seawater intrusion issue. Well, the theory of the ordinance when it was set up is that you had to save 2 to 1. Twice what a current household is using, you had to prove that through retrofits you were saving the community twice that amount of water. That would be fine if we didn't have a seawater intrusion problem. But in the EIR and the fine screening reports, the mitigation factor for water conservation is 0.55. So it doesn't take a math major to figure out that 0.55 on a 2-to-1 is pretty much a wash. So, you know, Mr. Gibson keeps making these comments, taking shots at this district about our program, and then he puts a comment out there that is absolutely false. New building, if it ever occurs under that ordinance, will not have an effect of reversing seawater intrusion. Thank you.
Thank you. And before we'll close public comment, but I would like to enter into the record the email that we got from Ms. Tacker regarding two items, which is 5I, which is the discussion about the value of the purchase, basically. And so that is on the record. And then just 5J regarding the district's policy not to donate or give breaks to nonprofits. So she does raise those two issues. The actual, I think all the directors have the email that she actually sent. So we will enter those comments into the public record. If I could just make a couple of responses. The Coastal Commission, attendance at the Coastal Commission, I mean, they deal with land use, so that's really outside the purview of this group. So, I mean, I will be attending because I have business there, but I don't think we need to have a formal representative there. I would assume or hope that LOCAP will have somebody there in attendance, but I will talk to Ms. Millage about that. And I have to tell you, the idea that we do need to have a representative at the Board of Supervisors monthly update is, I think, an excellent idea. So it's something I think we'll consider more at the September meeting and discussion, but for the interim here. So for the August Board of Supervisors update, I will attend as the president of the board, and then we'll figure out how we want to deal with this at our September meeting. But I think that's an excellent suggestion, so we can move forward with that. There was a couple specific questions directed towards Mr. Gilmore, if you could answer those, and then we'll go if any board members have any comments.
Sure. In response to Mrs. Taylor's question about the fire hydrant on Pasadena, it has been fully repaired and replaced. The bid had an option in there, depending on what we found when we dug it up. And I guess typical of the way a lot of things were done when the water system was originally installed, the thrust blocks, the concrete blocks that keep everything from blowing apart from water pressure, were covering some of the bolts so that the T had to be removed. It was a little additional work, but it's not something we didn't anticipate. We hoped we wouldn't have to do it, but it turns out we did. But the fire hydrant was installed. Bollards to protect it were also installed. I'm not sure if it's been painted yet. That's something that the fire department will take care of. They'll get one of the what do you call them? Reserves to get out there with a paintbrush and get it painted. And I also noted, while I did visit the site a couple times, and I noted that there wasn't one of the blue reflectors that you see in the roadway next to fire hydrants. So we're trying to find a solution to that, find out if there's interest on the part of the fire department to get that installed as well. Let's see. The other question I could answer was from Richard Margetson about the $250 contribution for the Coastal Cleanup Day. Fund 800 is our drainage fund, and I believe that line item 7346 is for stormwater, part of our stormwater program for promotions and public outreach. So it kind of makes sense to, since this is a sort of a clean water effort and a promotion and outreach sort of a contribution, it makes sense that it be taken from that fund. That line item only has $500 to start with, so I wouldn't have any problems at all if it made more sense to the board to take that money from solid waste, because it is a kind of a solid waste program too. And it's my understanding that traditionally for this type of a contribution, it has come from solid waste in the past.
It seems to me we have to pull item J if we're going to make that change, John, or not.
No, I think if there's no board comment, the motion could be to approve the consent item as amended by the general manager as to item 5J. If the motion maker wanted to divert the funds.
If Director Kelly, do you have a comment?
I wouldn't be able, sorry. I wouldn't support that coming from solid waste, as we do report it as part of our outreach and education. When we report it to the Regional Water Quality Control Board, it is part of what we do in response to our permit that we carry with them in our stormwater. I wouldn't move it to solid waste.
So now I think we would need to pull it.
All right. With that, then, we'll pull J. We'll let Fred, in response to the questions regarding LOCAC.
You have a great memory. So Alon asked about the planting on the Santa Isabel. There's going to be space on either side of the meandering pathway for planting. And that is an area where we are asking for volunteers. I believe Alyssa Fellman, the chair of our Trees and Landscaping Committee, will be taking that on. Josh Carmichael has volunteered to help with the planting, and there is money for the planting that was collected many years ago. And I forgot to deliver a message from my chair. We are looking for members of the community who want to apply for an appointed position on LOCAC. If you have any friends that you think might be interested, please talk to them and get in touch with Vicki at LOCAC. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, is there further discussion? Yes.
There was one more aspect to the fire hydrant question. That was the cost of it all.
It was done within the amount of money that was budgeted. I don't have the exact figures in front of me, but at the meeting in July, the numbers that were presented, there weren't any additional costs other than what was presented in that budget. Yeah.
Any further questions? Can we have a motion then to accept the consent agenda with the fact that 5I and 5J are pulled?
I move that we accept the committee reports and the consent calendar with the exception of items I and J.
I'll second.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, can we have a roll call, please?
Director Cecenia?
Yes.
Vice President Sennett?
Yes.
Director Sparks?
Yes.
Director Kelly?
Yes.
President Ohilski?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, then we'll move to item 5I. We'll have do we need to have an additional short staff report, or should we go straight to public comment? Okay, why don't you go ahead and give the staff report, and then we'll open it to public comment.
Sure. Thank you, President Ohilski. This item has a couple of aspects to it. It's basically is in regard to the purchase of a piece of equipment that's used to automatically turn valves, open them and close them. As part of water system operation, valves otherwise would sit in the ground for possibly years without being operated. They can get stuck. They can become difficult to operate. And inside the pipes, I don't want to alarm anybody, but normal water systems have out here is a lot of asbestos cement pipe, but in cast iron systems you get some tuberculation, some iron oxides that form, different crustiness can form on the inside of the pipes, and by exercising them regularly it keeps them working smoothly and completely, so that when there's emergencies and we need to shut off the water system, we get a good tight shut off and we don't have to fight water when we're making repairs. So the automatic valve turning equipment that we've been looking at, there are two primary manufacturers. They've both seemed to be very eager to get the district's business. We have gotten some preliminary pricing from them, and personally I feel that there's some more room for negotiation. I think tipping them off as to which one we're leaning towards in advance of that negotiation might reduce our effectiveness in getting the best price possible. So part of this recommended action is I'm asking for the authority to negotiate the best price and to go ahead and enter into a purchase agreement with the vendor. The importance of this type of equipment has a lot of different aspects to it. Without an automatic piece of equipment like that, district crews are out in the intersections where the valves are with a metal key that they use to open the valve, which is approximately 3 feet below the ground. And when the valves are stuck, it takes quite a bit of effort to operate the valves. If you can imagine a person standing and holding a T-bar, which is approximately the width of a person's shoulders, the torque to operate that valve comes from their feet through their back to their shoulders to the valve wrench and then finally to the valve. And there's a lot of torque going on. Oftentimes when the valves are stuck, they'll put two guys on the wrench. And if that doesn't work, they'll put cheater bars on there and increase the amount of leverage that they can apply. And I've seen the way it's done in a lot of different districts, a lot of different jurisdictions, and oftentimes when a valve is stuck, you can get pretty aggressive, and without any more precise controls, it's actually very easy to break a valve, especially when you start adding cheater bars to the valve keys. These machines are computer controlled. The amount of torque applied is controlled by the machines, very, very precise. The operator ultimately is the one that sets the amount of torque that's being applied. So it's very easy to incrementally step up the amount of torque that's being applied. The fact that there's a trailer there with this equipment that's doing the operation means there's additional protection for staff when they're out in the middle of the intersection. Then, of course, just the safety of having this being done with hydraulic machines rather than brute strength also reduces the likelihood that crews could be injured through those types of repetitive motions. And then simply just as a matter of productivity, well, there's two other things, productivity and cost. When we were actually able to get our hands on a couple of demo units, one we were able to have for a couple of days, and this actually references some of the numbers you'll see in Ms. Tacker's email, that over just a couple of days, they were able to exercise, fully staff was able to exercise about 100 valves, and most of those were ones that they knew were stuck or sticky, and they were able to break loose and rehabilitate all of those difficult valves without breaking any of them, without causing any damage. That saves money, obviously, saves their poor backs, and it saves money since those are now valves that we don't have to dig up and replace. And as far as productivity goes, to do 100 valves in just a couple of days when the district only has 600 or so valves total in the system, Ms. Tacker is correct that it doesn't seem like we would need a piece of equipment like that for very long before we were able to address every one of our valves in the system. Of course, when we had this thing on loan, we put it through all of its paces and used it to the maximum extent possible while we had it and while we could. Plus, staff wanted to really get a good feel for what it takes to operate the machinery. And so they used it to the fullest extent possible. Now, if we had our own equipment like that, we probably wouldn't use it like in that same manner. But to get through all the valves in the district, it might only take a month or two, and which means that a good portion of that time it wouldn't be used. And one of the ideas we've been kicking around is the possibility that other small districts who don't have or haven't been able to afford equipment like this, we might be able to establish a rental rate whereby we could recover some of our costs as the equipment got older or new equipment became available. Assuming we were able to fully recover those costs, then possibly be eligible to keep constantly have the best equipment on hand in order to accomplish these sorts of tasks. So that kind of sums it up. If there's any questions, I'm very happy to answer them for you.
Any questions before we go to public comment? Yes, Director Sparks.
Excuse me, Mr. Gilmer. Is there, this report shows a cost. Is there a maintenance cost, yearly service cost, or maintenance contract offered by the vendor that we would expect to also need?
There's been no mention of the ongoing maintenance costs. It's there's some solid-state computerized equipment. There's programming that's always becoming increasingly available that may or may not be useful. It's a hydraulic machine, so there's probably routine maintenance that's recommended with the purchase of the equipment. But as far as ongoing maintenance by the vendor, no, not that I'm aware.
Any other questions? Yes, Director Cicina.
I was looking for the place in here where you mentioned how we came across this device, and Golden State was testing a valve turning that was on loan from one of the vendors. Does anybody rent these things? Did we check around with other districts to see if somebody else has one that we can rent from them? I appreciate the whole aspect of sharing to keep costs down. Did we investigate whether that's available currently?
We did call around. I wasn't able to find any equipment rental yards that have that type of equipment. The idea of sharing somebody else's did come up, and Golden State was obviously the first agency we thought of. Mm-hmm. They they were looking at purchasing a much more elaborate unit than what we're looking at. This is includes a complete truck, and it's a truck-mounted system, and they would not be interested in sharing it with us, as they have several service areas where they would move this equipment around and utilize just within the Golden State Water Companies. I did contact, spoke with District Engineer Rob Miller, and he was very excited about the idea of several of the small districts that he represents that he says would be interested in if we were able to come up with a reasonable rate for the rental of this type of equipment, that they would be interested. And I spoke with my counterpart at the Templeton Community Services District, and he was also interested. So I think it's feasible. It's something that we would definitely want to put a lot of thought into, the insurance and liability and indemnification and type stuff, and develop a rental program that my idea would be to come up with a rental program that I could then come back and present to the board for consideration.
I guess I'd want to see that first before we committed to buying one, and knowing that it was feasible. What if for insurance purposes, you assume all kinds of liabilities when you rent this thing out? Again, there were, I think, two different systems mentioned here. Have we actually used both? We used one of the two. Is there a way to examine the other one to see if it might meet our needs better? I guess there's just too many unanswered questions for me yet.
We were able to physically get our hands on both the units that we were looking at. The one that was on loan for a couple days that we actually really put through its paces was we had that opportunity with one and not the other. But they're similar but different, and part of it is in the controls and part of it is in the hardware. But
So we don't have hands-on experience with the other one?
Well, we weren't able
to use it.
We weren't able to actually drive it around and use it ourselves. Okay. But yeah, they did
familiar with it, but
hook it up to a couple of valves and show us how it worked, and okay. We were able to see it and touch it.
Thanks.
Okay, with that then, we'll go to public comment on 5I.
Good evening, board members. George Taylor, Los Osos. In regards to item 5I, I think that we are really, really jumping ahead on this. This idea has been floated, but it has never come to the Utilities Advisory Committee. There has been no input from anybody on that committee as to this, the feasibility or the advisability of purchasing such a expensive piece of equipment. We don't even really know whether we really need this or not. And until we have some people that can look into it, other than just the general manager, I think that we're just really skipping way ahead. And $25,000 is a lot of money to be spending out of a very thin budget that we have. And I can't encourage you enough to please bring this to the to the Utilities Advisory Committee for some input before we go ahead with this. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Lynette Tornatsky, Los Osos. Having been a witness to the water crew having to take five valves back to shut off a water break in the main when they were doing the repairs up on the 16th Street tanks, there was about 200,000 gallons of water that was lost, and I keep thinking of us saving every drop here and there, and then $200,000 just went out the window because they couldn't stop the water. And if we're really serious about water conservation, I don't see how $25,000 is that huge an amount. And I also don't feel like we have to second guess every single thing the general manager does. And if you guys want to send it back to committee, that's fine. I'm sure we could have a nice discussion of it. However, I also feel that you really need to think about workmen's liabilities and insurance. Having seen people injured on jobs at my old place of business, it does terrible things to your insurance costs in the future when you have to pay out for someone injuring their back because they didn't have the right equipment to do it without that risk. So I would ask you to think about that. Thank you.
Thank you. And in further response to Mr. Perlman's question, public comment will be over as soon as we're done with the items pulled from the consent agenda. So.
Good evening, Lindy Owen. As a member of the Utilities Committee, I think what I'd like to point out is we're not seeing a lot of things that should be going to utilities to be looked at and discussed. Secondly, to also go to finance to be discussed. And I do appreciate that Mr. Gilmore's probably got, you know, his reasons for wanting this equipment, but I'm not comfortable. This is Los Osos. And we've had many problems in the past with trust, and it's more about process. What is the process? Does the manager just say we want any piece of equipment and then give a few reasons and then everybody rubber stamps it? Or do we have a process where it actually goes before the committees? That's what I understood that we did with these larger purchases. I feel we have no information going out that we have openings on the water department. When we have our utilities meetings, we have very little update about what's going on with employees, what some of the needs. I mean, that is the idea of the committees, is to be there to kind of input and help make decisions when different problems and changes are coming through the utilities. And if it's a matter of money, then it's supposed to go to finance. So I'm not real comfortable with this. I think it needs to go back and be put through finance. And who's to say that Mr. Gilmore doesn't have a friend who has a piece of $25,000 equipment that would be a benefit to his friend? That's the problem. You have to have the process. And it's not that I'm not trusting Mr. Gilmore. I'm saying we are in Los Osos. And I want to see that process. And I really urge you to send this back to committee, to both committees, so that we can vet it. And we need to know more about whether a rental would not make more sense because, again, as Mr. Gilmore says, it can be done in a couple weeks. So if it's a job that just takes a couple weeks, why are we going to sit on a $25,000 piece of equipment unless we already have contracts with other smaller water companies that would help offset that cost? So thank you.
Thank you.
Frank Cilio, Los Osos. I like the comments by Chuck Cicinia about the liability for rental. If you rent out a piece of equipment, what the liabilities will be for the districts. I think there's a lot, when I pick it up, there's a lot of questions not answered. I'd like to know if there, has there been any contact with other communities that have this equipment? Been able to do maybe the rental out, how they found the maintenance of this equipment. And also, when I think about maintenance of the equipment, because there's no service agreement that was discussed about it, does the staff that we have at CSD, are they have the skills, or will they have to have special training to go and be able to service this equipment so it stays in the kind of shape that it needs to be in to be utilized so nobody gets hurt by using this piece of equipment, even though it can help a lot, too, at the same time. The other thing is about, you know, they talk about rentals and leasing. Is there a possibility of leasing that equipment? Also, I know that they've talked about there's communities that are interested, smaller community districts. I like, you know, the names of those districts they have. You know, we're willing to be interested and, how you know, get kind of a ballpark estimate of what they're willing to pay, too. What do they feel is a reasonable rate is on that issue, too? So there's a lot of questions, and I think if you go back to committee, that would be helpful, and maybe some of those questions, or a lot of those questions, can be answered and presented to the board. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comment after Richard? Seeing none, we'll close public comment on 5J, or 5I, pardon me.
Richard Margetson, I think just for the reason that Lindy and Lynette are both members of the Water Advisory Committee, and they both seem to be coming from different perspectives, I think is a reason to send it back to committee. And this type of expenditure, when you look at where we're going to pay it from, pay for it from, I think, needs to be addressed at finance. This is an unexpected expense at this point, and you know, times are lean. And I think this kind of expenditure for something that may only be used for a couple of months. I also would like part of the analysis to be how many districts out there would have interest in this, possibly, if we came up with a rental rate. And if it's such a great item, why don't more solvent districts already have one? And if they do, maybe we can get it from them for, you know, $1,000 for whatever the cost would be. I think that analysis has to happen, especially right now. If things were different, if we were, you know, totally solvent and all reserves were flush, everything was going fine, revenue was no problem, maybe we look at it differently. But right now, I think there needs to be further analysis. And for this amount of money not to have hit either committee is unusual, and it was never the practice in the past.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. Any directors have any comment, or do you have some answers to questions?
There's a couple things I should probably bring up, and before we go to questions, the cost of this piece of equipment was proposed to come from the sale of surplus vehicles that we recently disposed of in the utilities department. The idea of renting the equipment out was just a way of softening the blow of the cost. In my mind, the value of this equipment by far exceeds the purchase price. The safety issues and that it provides for district staff, particularly with a smaller and smaller workforce out in the field, by far outweighs the purchase price. And any kind of rental revenues we could generate with it, presuming we could come up with an acceptable program, would really just be gravy and allow us to sort of depreciate it more quickly. And so, in other words, if we only kept it to ourselves and used it exclusively for district business, it might take us 10, 12 years to wear it out. Whereas if it is being used by multiple districts and we're generating some revenue, maybe we have a new one every 3 or 4 years. To me, there's some value in at least considering that. And as far as the public comment with respect to other agencies, really the smaller districts may or may not have access to this type of equipment. The larger agencies certainly have them. I know the city of San Luis Obispo has one and has been using it for years. One other point I wanted to make was that it's not coming to my mind at the moment, but it's such a specialized piece of equipment, we wouldn't expect a rental yard to stock it and keep it. So that's the reason why it's generally not available. Maybe in larger markets like Los Angeles or elsewhere, there may be rental yards that have this type of equipment, but we weren't able to find anything like that around here. And the sales reps basically told us that same thing, that it's not something that rental yards would get a lot of use out of.
Any questions or comments by the directors? Director Kelly.
Thank you. And I appreciate the public comment, and I'm looking at our maintenance equipment and vehicle grounds and structures line item budget, and we have $26,000 left for the year, and we have nothing allocated for any type of equipment or capital outlay in the water budget. As much as I support the concept of the equipment, because I do think it frees up staff, and we are running, you know, I'd like to see us be more efficient with our staffing, I think that some of these other issues do need to be addressed as far as the cost to replace the valves versus the equipment, how would we share it? Just a little more of play out of the scenario. I do support it. I just think we need a little more thought to go into it, and specifically looking at what our budget looks like for this year and taking into account that this was something we may want to do. How urgent is it that we do this right now, or is this something we can actually plan for? I know there's other things that we'd probably like to have also, so maybe we need to start looking and prioritizing at what pieces of equipment we'd like to purchase on a larger scale versus kind of having them come forward one at a time. So those are my comments.
I can respond to those questions now or wait till the end?
Let's wait till the end.
Okay.
I share many of the same concerns, just the process of it all. They haven't been reviewed by committees. I would also add that maybe with the stuck valves now free, we've maybe bought a little time to be able to consider this sort of thing. Does the city rent them? You've already checked with them?
Yes.
Okay. Before I really would consider the purchase, I want a whole analysis of the feasibility of the rental thing, and that's been touted as a way to cut the costs. Is it something we can legally even put together, an agreement between districts and that kind of thing? I really want that kind of thought put into it. And in the meantime, the committees can be looking at it.
Tank surplus vehicles to make that purchase. It probably very reasonably should go back to the Finance Committee, at least the final cost, because this is something that wasn't included in the original budget. Neither was the sale of the surplus vehicles, so there's a little bit of offsetting revenues to go along with this purchase, but it is something that would require a budget adjustment.
Yeah, my question again is on the valve exercising schedule. You're saying we're starting now, and when would we normally expect to complete that?
Normally, it would take 3 to 4 months, I believe, because they do it as time permits, and again, doing it by hand, it takes two people, and it takes a lot longer.
So as we speak, they're going to continue to do the exercising of the valves, or are they going to wait until we get a decision here?
Well, as Director Sasania pointed out, we got a good jump when we were able to put our hands on a demo unit and put it through its paces. We banged out almost 20% of the valves just in 2 days. So. And they were the worst ones, so I think we've bought ourselves a little bit of time.
Okay, so I'm fine with delaying it, but again, there does seem to be not urgency, but necessity that we make a decision fairly quickly so that it's not to delay the testing.
All right. I just want to make it clear that I support the concept of having this kind of thing. I just really want a good analysis of it. It seems to make sense, and as was pointed out, sometimes you need this kind of equipment around to deal with emergency situations and save 200,000 gallons of water. So I see the value in that kind of thing, too. We just need to, I think, slow down.
Thank you. Vice President Sennett.
I found the package you put together really good. I liked it, and I support it. I'd like to see it happen. But again, the process, I think, needs to be consistent with the culture in our district, and that is that the committee gets to have some purview over what's being proposed before we make a decision. I'd like to see it come back after the committees look at it. But I like it. I think I see it has so many merits that, if we can put it off, it's not an emergency, I think we could put it off a month to allow the committees to look at it.
Yes.
In the meantime, you could tell the manufacturer, the vendor, that we're not quite sure and we'd like to just try it out one more time.
We'll use it as a negotiating ploy. Okay, with that, then, we'll move to 5J for a discussion. Who?
Mr. President, I probably make a suggestion just to make it clear on the record that there be a motion to continue this item to the September meeting and direct staff to run it through committees, just so that there's a crystal clear record on it.
Okay, can we have a motion to that effect? We're talking about 5I.
Right. I'd like to make a motion. We continue agenda item 5A to the September meeting and let the Finance and Utilities Committee review it.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. I don't think we need a roll call. I think any barring objection, we'll just have a unanimous vote. Okay, with that, then, we'll move to item 5J.
Do you want to step down? I'm going to step down.
Director Kelly is stepping down on this item.
Maria, you just might want to just quickly state the reason.
I'm helping with this project, and I'm employed by EcoSlow.
Okay. Well, as soon as we have a, yes, we will. We did have, I mean, the staff report's relatively brief and to the point, and the issue was about really which fund it should come from. So unless there's any further questions, we'll just open it up to,
I have just a couple things to add, and that is that there were two locations that were cleaned up under this program last year, the pier at 2nd Street around that area, and then Cuesta Inlet. I was the site captain at that area. So we took trash from both areas. I'm not involved this year. I'm not going to recuse myself for those reasons.
Okay. Thank you.
And before we go any further, I did receive some information after this item was pulled. Staff was contacted by cell phone, and in the past, the money has come from solid waste, but it was felt that this was more appropriate. It certainly could come from either one, and as far as getting credit for our stormwater programs, it doesn't matter where the money comes from. We would get credit either way.
Well, we'll open it to public comment, but I think there's pretty much clear that we'll just take it from solid waste and go with that.
Is that the
I just had the question whether we've supported it in the past with the 250. Is that our average ongoing sponsorship? Great. I think we should do it the way we did it last year, and so I support that it come from solid waste.
Yes.
If you're going to make it, take it from the solid waste, just make a finding that you are diverting solid waste within the district as a result of this cleanup program.
When Mr. Cicina makes his motion, we'll have that included.
Okay.
Do we have any further discussion, or are we ready for a motion?
I'm going to support this coming from solid waste. I see this as an extension of our chipping days and other community-wide cleanup efforts, and so... With that, I'll let Mr. Cicina make a motion.
I would recommend that we approve a C-Star sponsorship in the amount of $250 for the 26th annual California Coastal Cleanup Day. This is our second year of involvement, and that the $250 come from the Solid Waste Fund and not the Drainage Fund.
Did you want a further finding added to that, John?
Yeah, that, based on a finding that this is solid waste diversion.
Ditto.
Thank you. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second the amended motion.
Thank you. With that, any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll just, without objection, we'll have a unanimous roll call. With that, then, we'll have Director Kelly come back up, and we'll open it to general public comment.
Don Bearden, Los Osos. Sometimes whenever we get all involved in other things like a wastewater system, we drop all this other stuff and we kind of ignore it. Some of the things we've ignored are water conservation efforts outside the prohibition zone. I know the wastewater project is taking care of it inside the prohibition zones, so everybody's just kind of waiting on that. But outside the prohibition zone, we're not making any efforts that I know of to start a program to do that. Speaking of other things outside the prohibition zone, we also are still in the wastewater business. There are a bunch of septic tanks outside the prohibition zone that we need some type of a septic tank maintenance program going on. And we're not addressing that either. We've been talking about it for years, but we still don't ever seem to address anything. To implement some type of a program or get some grants or something, even for low-income people that can't hardly afford to connect up when the connections come along. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Hello, Fred Delegata, Los Osos. I've enjoyed living in Los Osos for 26 years. 2 years I've served on the CSD Finance Committee, and 1 year on the Combined Finance Water Ops Committee. Recently, I was elected to my second four-year term to the Los Osos Community Advisory Council, where I serve as vice chair. Why am I telling you this? Because I'm announcing my candidacy for director of the Los Osos Community Services District 2010. I look forward to speaking with and listening to the voters about their concerns and ideas as we head into the post-bankruptcy era. I hope to help improve the economic stability of the CSD, continue to replenish reserves to a safe level, promote water conservation, and manage in a sustainable manner our depleted water supplies. Please exercise your vote, your right to vote on November 2nd. Thank you.
Thank you.
Frank Cilio, Los Osos. The last LOCAC meeting, I asked Supervisor Gibson, what would happen if a 218 fails for the undeveloped property? And he basically told me that they're permitted to build a facility for 19,300 people. And so our wastewater system is going to be built for over 19,000. Plus, you have a peaking factor that would be probably built into it over the 19,000 for unexpected results from the wastewater system that would be needed to be taken care of. So I'm trying to figure out, we have in the prohibition zone 12,500 people. It's supposedly to go up to 19,000. Then I look at the outside the prohibition zone, currently about 2,000 people. It's expected to go up to 9,382 build out. And I really scratch my head because I'm trying to figure out where the water is. Basically, in the EIR, draft EIR, it talks about a population of over 28,000 people in Los Osos. Meanwhile, it's a very confusing that's for over 19,000 people. You're going to have to repair that facility, replacement for that facility. And it's not going to cost, there's a difference between fixing a Volkswagen and fixing, Escalade. That's what it's going to be when we, might need a Volkswagen. And I'm not saying that I'm for any particular type of technology. I'm saying that the size needs to be normalized to what actually is going to be used plus a peaking factor. There's no water. And how are these people going to vote for 218? If I had a vacant or undeveloped property, would I vote for 218 for a wastewater project that I may never be able to hook up to unless we do things like import water, build a desal plant, which would then require another 218 to build it, and then to the, because it does cost money to build a desal, you can't get those free, and then also to maintain that facility. So, I'm asking these questions of you to hopefully you'll look at this when you're dealing with the ISJ. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, somebody.
Good evening, Mr. President. My name is Leonard Muthart. I am a citizen of Los Osos. And I am here also to announce my candidacy to run for director of the Los Osos Community Services District. For those of you that don't know me, I'll take a moment just to give a brief synopsis. My wife, Julie, and I have lived in Los Osos since 1994, and we've raised two children here. I've always been involved in the community, serving in various ways, starting with scouting, where I held leadership positions for over 12 years. I've coached soccer. I've been involved with my church. I've visited many classrooms, giving numerous science demonstrations. And currently, I'm pleased to be serving on the Utilities Advisory Committee and the Water Conservation Subcommittee. I have 28 years of experience working in biotechnology. I hold a bachelor's degree in biochemistry. As a scientist, it is my job to look at situations objectively and consider the facts and make an informed decision. As hopefully a member of the board of directors, I will do the same. As a director, I will work hard to ensure the conservation of our natural resources and the enhancement of our...
And this CSD doesn't have the information, possibly if you weren't in attendance at some of the different meetings. One thing at the last LOCAC meeting, when Supervisor Gibson was asked about, we're trying to understand this series of 218 votes because there's not enough money to pay for the sewer. We have, I think it's 2,000 undeveloped lots that were expected to contribute, and when asked and pressured, Mr. Gibson said that within 3 years he expected to have an extra water source, as well as a habitat conservation plan, which is also missing. And being pressured with that, he just pretty much wanted to leave it at the fact that he believes that within 3 years he's going to find enough water for all these undeveloped lots, and therefore that 218 will be he expects it to pass. In the meanwhile, it looks like what I understood they want to do is another 218 on rates and charges. They're going to ask the community in the prohibition zone if we would like to just go ahead and accept what I believe is $27 million that's missing, and they'll put it on our bill. And then hopefully in 3 years, when this miracle water appears, the empty lots would then jump back in and contribute. So I'm just letting the community know, if you thought that you were going to be paying $250 a month, you might as well consider that it's probably going to be $300 a month. And then if we don't get the water source, and you know those lot owners go to sue, somehow our water bills will all go up too. So we're just looking. I kind of go back to what happens when crises happen, and you kind of stop if you were on a road that was untenable, and you begin to look around, you realize that we can't do it anymore, and I believe we can't do it. I think we're losing more than half of our community, and I don't think I see a recovery very quickly, because people can't move here if they can't sell their house someplace else. So I think the scenario that was there 10 years ago is no longer. And I urge us, I will be at regional board to ask them to consider doing, giving us a waiver of some kind to actually look at doing a partial sewering of the areas that we know for sure deserve to be sewered. And I think the pressurized system that was designed by Ripley exists. Sadly, $8 million later, 3 years later.
Agenda earlier, people at home, mark September 25th, Saturday, because coastal cleanup requires warm bodies, your hands. It's a way to give back to the community. You'll get to see things you may not normally notice on your regular walks. Some old bottles sometimes turn up. I think in terms of the board, though, I think there may or may not be an attempt to cut up some of the boats over at Cuesta, and I don't think that will actually be able to take place on that particular day. There may be need for extra bins and so forth. Hopefully that takes place. I'd love to participate in that on the 26th. Coming up in this Saturday, I won't be there, unfortunately, so I'm putting out the word that the Elfin Forest Weed Warriors are going to be out, and they're not going to be in full force unless you citizens show up there. So if you haven't done it before, it's a good way to get, again, to help your community, to learn a little bit about mostly you'll learn about the noxious weeds, which don't belong in the Elfin Forest. 9 o'clock at the end of 15th Street at the Elfin Forest is where you'd show up to do that. You can find out more probably Googling the Elfin Forest website. And it's just a way to help out. Now, some other good news. For quite a while, Sweet Springs had lost its manager. It's a little too early to go into details, but it's very likely that the work days that usually took place, I don't know what the schedule will be, but usually on Saturdays, the second Saturday, there were work days. That's another way to pull weeds and then just learn, really, get your hands dirty and learn about what really the Los Osos environment is all about. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Richard Margetson, I'd like to slightly correct what Lindy Owen said about the rates and charges, 218. The way it's planned now, or the way the timeline looks, it will be everything above the $127 million that's already been assessed. So it could be $27 million, it could be $30 million, it could be $45 million, it could be whatever the number is above $127. But against what's coming down from the county. You're the elected representatives from this community. Mr. Gibson's the representative from the entire district, but he doesn't live in this community. And the other comment that he made that day, when it came back to the board and they were trying to expedite the timeline to move it up 6 months or so to, you know, to start the water conservation program, things like that, his comment was, when it came back to the board and he was trying to make his case to the other supervisors, his first priority was, he had three comments, and his first priority was, well, 6 months works out to 180 million gallons of improperly treated sewage not being dumped in the Morro Bay National Estuary. Mr. Gibson has no report. There is no report out there that says 1 million gallons of improperly treated septic is flowing into that, is being dumped into that bay daily. And that was out there for the entire county to hear. And that's why we get the rap from the rest of the county that we're the major polluters of that bay. And I don't think that's just, I mean, of the estuary. And I don't think that's justified. And that's why I really hope that, you know, the representatives will start coming to these meetings. One of the directors will start coming, picking up those things, bringing it back to the board. And maybe, you know, in the future, you may have to make communication, write a letter or whatever. We have to start defending ourselves against those kind of comments because it's a bad reflection on the entire community. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we'll close public comment. And like I said, we will talk at our next meeting about a representative, but in the interim, I will go to the next meeting and attend. With that then, do we have any director's closing comments? Yes.
There's a yard sale, people helping people this weekend. Is that right, Richard? People helping people,
people help sale people
this
Saturday.
Weekend. Saturday. Los Osos Valley Road and South Bay Boulevard.
As long as they're selling goods, I bet they'll be open.
I'm excited. We have a couple candidates announced tonight, and I would say Don and Frank, you still have time to take your papers out. So there's time.
Thank you. Yes, Director Sparks.
Yeah, thank you, Director Cecina, for mentioning that. I believe the filing deadline is tomorrow at 5 o'clock at the county office. However, because unless something...
A couple of them.
Okay. So we also have the CSD and the AAIC, the CSD Regional Water Quality, CSD Golden State, which is the ISJ litigation, Taxpayers Watch versus the CSD and the CSD versus state, or pardon me, versus State Water Resources. I knew I was going to mess that up. State Water Resources Quality Control Board. So those are the items we'll be discussing in closed session tonight. And if there's any public comment on our closed session items. Oh, pardon me.
Yeah, before we start, I'd like to make a couple comments. starting off with agenda item number A, this is the bankruptcy litigation. I want the audience to know and people at home that the judge at the last mediation specifically put a gag order on discussing that mediation in the public. That mediation was continued till tomorrow at 1:30 at the bankruptcy court up in Oakland. There is the Taxpayers Watch et al. Versus the Los Osos Community Service District. I've become aware that there was a report in a newspaper that alluded that maybe the district got $1 million or more. I just want to make sure I have a memo here. For the audience, they're welcome to take a look at it. But the financial terms of that litigation was that the district will dismiss AAIC from its pending litigation, which we were suing them because they failed to defend the district in the underlying litigation. AAIC agreed to pay $348,150 to the State Water Resources Control Board and $55,000 in plaintiff's attorney's fees. Burke Williams and Sorensen agreed to pay $95,000 in plaintiff's attorney's fees. Burke Williams Sorensen also agreed to dismiss with prejudice approximately $792,625 in bankruptcy claims.
and further waived approximately $19,500 in post-bankruptcy claims. All parties signed mutual releases, except as to the State Water Resources Control Board, which released only Burke, Williams, and Sorensen from the lawsuit. So the bottom line is there was no money coming directly to the district as a result of that litigation, nor did the district directly pay. For those that want to take a look at it, I'm just going to recite the key terms of that settlement. Just one more right here, in case. By the way, none of these matters will appear back on the closed session agenda from this point forward, so I just want to make sure we're concluding it. Under the agreement, settlement agreement with AAIC, the insurer, which was AAIC, agreed to fund its portion of the settlement agreement, which I just read off. Secondly, it agreed to reimburse the insured, the LOCSD, for its defense counsel first retained by the district to defend the district and the individual director. So that money was repaid to the district. And, of course, as usual, there's an indemnity clause and a mutual release clause that goes for a page. But basically, each party, the district, the directors, and the insurer released each other from all future claims except as to any other litigation that may be brought by Taxpayers Watch related to the existing claims or any new or different claims which were covered under any insurance policy issued by AAIC or its affiliates. So that case is put to rest, too. And from this point on, we should not be seeing the Taxpayers Watch at all versus the district, nor the district versus AAIC on future closed session agendas.
Thank you. With that, then, we'll go to public comment on closed session items. None? Seeing none, then, we'll adjourn to closed session.